Lightworkers Unite is a podcast and social show hosted by intuitive women, lightworkers, and most importantly, friends, Mayuman Manjeet. Welcome to our podcast, where we believe there is a lightworker within all of us.
Whether you are a medium, an educator, or a nuclear technologist, there's a lightworker within you, and we have work to do.
This is a call to action.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Hey everyone, thanks
hello,
for joining
hello.
Us. Yay,
welcome. I'm Mayum. I'm Manjeet.
And welcome to our podcast, Lightworkers Please Rise. We're super excited to have you guys here. And so, yeah, what's going on with you, hey. Manjeet?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's been a week. We've been going through a lot this week, right? We have had a lot of political stuff going on.
I know, lots going on.
Yeah, a lot of awareness, I think, happening in our world today, and then all amongst this pandemic, right, with the things starting to open up slowly. It's a really, it's a very interesting time where I feel like I'm just trying to learn as much as I can and just try to be as supportive as I can. And educate our kids, you know, the girls are
lots
kind of
conversations.
Yeah. I agree. How about you, Mayu? Yeah. How are you doing?
No, it's the same in my household too, with the three girls. With all that's going on, and it's been really sad, of course, you know, with what happened to George Floyd and the riots, the protesters, and I'm all for protesting. I think that having peaceful protesting is so important for this country to be had. And there's just been a lot of chaos. And then on top of the pandemic, right? And here we are. I know we're slowly going to venture out now. And restaurants, like you said, are starting to open up to, I think it's like 50% capacity outside or 25% inside. And my girls are having a lot of questions. So their ages, you know, 13, 15, and 17. So, and they're having a lot of emotions. So there's a lot going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can relate. And I think it's a really important time for lightworkers, you know, to really please rise. It's a it's a really powerful time for us to unite and have powerful conversations and understand each other better and shine, right?
Yeah, I think I agree.
This is
Because we're light workers as well, in this time of a lot of fear and anger, right? I find that, I don't know about you, but my body has been acting funky. And I know the energy of everyone in the world, I can feel it. Like, you know, when you're an empath, I can feel the sensation. So there's a lot of kind of maintaining my space and putting up a protection shield to kind of assure that I'm not taken in on everybody's energy. So the negative stuff.
Anyway, that's a great, and we're going to be talking about that too in one of our future podcasts, you know, boundary creation for the light worker and empath.
Right.
You know, I think that's a really powerful skill to understand. But also, you know, being an empath and connecting with other people's energy, that's such a powerful tool for us. But, you know, how do we do that safely? How do we do that in a way that is not going to deplete us so that, you know, we are not helpful anymore,
right?
When we're giving and broken down those barriers, we aren't as effective, you know, in as a light worker, I believe. So, yeah, that's a great observation.
Yeah. And awareness for me. Cause I was like, why am I so effing tired? you know? And I just realized it's just a lot going on and taking on my kids and their emotions as well. Right. I mean, mothers do that automatically. So, but
well, we are going to be, that's a great topic for, coming up. So for those of you who are listening today, stay tuned for that, powerful podcast about boundary creation. Today, we are actually going to be if you're up for it, Mayum, we're going to be, because we have an interview series, right, on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We're going to be interviewing our amazing and beautiful Mayum today. For those of you who don't know her, you're going to get to know her. You're so lucky. Are you okay with that, Mayum? You ready?
I'm great. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about her. Mayum is a really powerful creative guide and medium for those who seek guidance, connection, and healing in her business, Guided Gatherings. She gathers people in really fun, super supported, and sacred spaces to ignite creativity and connection with spirit. She does this with Mandela rock painting parties. She does this with spirit gatherings, with mediumship painting parties. You can find all of her amazing mechanisms and workshops on her website. And she is very powerful at connecting people with their angels and their spirit guides and the ones who have crossed over for messages of guidance, love, and healing. So if you've never had an opportunity to work with her, you really need to, because I know for me personally, she has really saved my life. When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, she was a huge conduit for me to go back and look at some of the traumatic lifetimes I've been in and really help me heal some of those wounds so that I could be in my power today. And this is just a little snippet of what she does. In her earlier years, Mayum worked in television and radio, and she still enjoys marketing and public speaking. She's also a published children's book author and is currently working on a memoir of her parents' love story during the Vietnam War, in which she shares the story of Jesus appearing before her, as well as her own journey to forgiveness, angels, and mediumship. Because it is a learning curve, isn't it, Mayum? Mm-hmm, yes. The whole process is such a learning curve. And that's why we're so compelled to have this podcast, right?
That's
to share that. So if you're out there in this journey, you know you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. So it is Mayum's hope and desire to really help others connect with their own inner healing through creativity and spirituality. And so really please check out her her website for all of the amazing programs that she offers, as well as private readings. So along with the painting and the writing, Mayum also enjoys, she has some writing jam sessions coming up. I think there's another series coming up, isn't it, Mayum?
I'm so excited about that one. Yep.
It's super, super fun stuff. She also really enjoys movies, meditation, and her women's volleyball league. Most importantly, she's an avid coffee drinker. Absolutely. This is where we really resonate. Also a vodka enthusiast, which we are connected by. And most importantly, a coconut cream pie lover.
Yes, my favorite.
I love it. She lives in Kirkland, Washington with her husband and three beautiful, stunning daughters. Chocolate Lab Rocco, who's just the sweetest dog. And then two cats, Vinny and Ralphie.
That's right. Newest addition to our family.
I know, little cutie pies. So I just want to jump right in with these questions. What do you think, Mayum? I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on these questions.
Me too.
Okay. So our first question that we give our audience, we're in the future, we're going to be interviewing other light workers in different, professions. And so we really wanted to take the opportunity to answer those questions too. So you all could see that we're, how we're all connected, right? Yeah. We all have our own story. So how did you first know that you were a light worker?
Well, first I didn't even come across that term till later in life, right? What I came to know, I think it was Doreen Virtue was the one that I began reading her books and listening to her and heard the term light worker. So I think all my life, I have been seeing spirit, and it started off with specks of light while I was sleeping, like a little girl. They kind of looked like little fairies, and and so it was safe and sweet. And then they started to morph into shadows and more beings and things that scared the living shit out of me, actually. But so that was going on for sure. I mean, that is some scary shit you don't want to see when you're a kid. So I was very frightened in the beginning of seeing these beings in my room, and it always happened at night, and quite honestly still does. But all through my life, I just had this knowing of things, or things appeared to me, or someone would be talking and I'd kind of already have a feeling of who they were, and I didn't know what it was called. So it wasn't really until I was probably in my 20s that my dad, my awesome dad, really helped me embrace what was going on. He was so curious and had me ask questions. And I started to realize that I could tap into a different realm. I could tap into people in spirit, and I didn't know what it was. But so I would say, yeah, in my 20s, my dad and I really started to have conversations. Well, even earlier than that, but just talking about life and God and the universe and angels and life after death. So knowing that I could see people after they've died, I knew that there was something going on with me. Wow. Good or bad. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
it's amazing, isn't it? When that's the one thing also we are connected with is our fathers.
Yes.
Being, you know, in our 20s, a kind of a spiritual mentor.
Yeah.
I love that.
He really was.
So, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, trusting your intuition really looks different to different people, right? Mm-hmm. So what does trusting your intuition look like for you as a light worker?
Trusting it, how does it look like? Well, it took a long time before I actually could trust it, I think. It's really about getting clear or being quiet for me. I have to, if the more chaos and the more that my mind and thoughts are jumbled or scattered, nothing's clear. So for me, it really is about getting quiet. I have to stop and listen and pay attention to things that are like the nudges, I guess, and my body. Mm. My body tells me a lot. And I didn't learn that till later on. I thought things were happening for other reasons, but my body really was giving me a lot of hits.
Yeah. Tell us more about that. Tell us more about how does your body tell you?
Oh, gosh. Well, so I have, I was taught a long time ago. I had this beautiful spiritual mentor in my life. And early on, she taught me how to pay attention to my body. And so we started off with like, okay, ask your body to show you what a yes means. And so I did, and I would get these, I love calling them the truth shivers, but I would get these chills or shivers.
I love that.
Like down my arms, right? I could feel it, and it would be a confirmation. It was a hard yes. So I knew that was yes. And then she would say, you know, what does no look like? And sometimes I would get like a really warm, yucky feeling, almost like a fever. My body would just kind of go, it felt like I was sick, but just really, you know, gentle. In fact, I had to tell them to soften it because sometimes I thought I was sick. My body was really powerful in telling me that I had to pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's so fascinating. I'd love to, I know we have another podcast just on that as well, kind of slated in the books. And I think that's just so fascinating. And I love the concept of you asking for them to back off, because that's real power there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
you taught me how to do that, actually. that shit is too strong. You're just like, you just kind of tell them to back off. So I did. Yeah. And who knew that by saying that, like, hey, that's too much, they actually listen.
Yeah.
And they mean in spirit. It actually works when you say, no, that's too much. And it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a really powerful part of light working, right? Is really understanding what, where your power is. So yeah, I congratulate you on that. Okay. So what do you think were your biggest obstacles in trusting your intuition, and how did you overcome that?
My biggest obstacles. So obstacles really and truly, and I'm sure I'm speaking for most light workers or most people, it's self-doubt. That is my biggest competitor is trying to decipher when the thoughts, when I get an intuitive hit, how do I discern? How do I know that this is from spirit? You know, my higher self or God or whatever you want to call it, source, as opposed to my own thoughts, my ego.
Yeah.
Right. So, that, and still today, it is so subtle. And to wait, the only way I could overcome the self-doubt was to surrender, trust, and then validate. I had to have it validated. And that took practice. It doesn't happen overnight. So, sometimes working.
Tell me about the validating. What is validating?
Yeah, validate. So especially in mediumship, because the signs and pictures that come to me are so subtle that sometimes I'm not sure if I'm, you know, making this shit up, you know,
or
am I daydreaming? Am I just making this up? And the way I validate is with the person, the sitter or whoever's with me by asking, okay, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm feeling. And this is what I know. And does this, how does this resonate with you? Or how does this make sense? And does it make sense to you? And it was with their validation. Like it's, if, especially if I saw, let's say for instance, you know, horses. And I've trained myself to learn to expand more, you know, to view more than just the horse. Like there's a story behind the horse, whether it was, you know, whether or not they were riding horses as a young girl, or perhaps it was just a little statue of a horse that they collected or something. I'd have to have someone validate, like, yes, I used to take horseback riding lessons when I was little. I'm like, okay, so now I saw horses. This person is saying they rode horses when they were little. So those little things, I had to grow upon that, or simply with friends be like, hey, you know, I'm getting a sense of this, or what does that mean? Or my body be like, whoa, I've been hanging out with this person and they've been talking about how they have nausea, and all of a sudden I have nausea. So those were little validations, like, especially if I left that person for a while and it would go away, I realized that I was picking up on their stuff. So I guess, I'd had to trust and then put it out there. That's the key, is putting it out there.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, do you remember that workshop we did? I was a participant in one of your painting parties. And so Mayum is, you know, having all this energy coming through, and she's talking about this little old man with a hat and a cane, and he's dressed to the nines. And she starts with this dude who's coming through. And not one person in the room is speaking up.
Crickets.
And it was crickets. I mean, just absolute crickets. And I'm like, oh shit, poor Mayum. Like, this is, oh my God. Like, this is so crazy. I felt for you, because I was like, oh my God, there's like nobody, like no fucker is seeing anything in the entire room. And then she does a whole bunch of other powerful readings. And this dude in the, this old dude with the hat and the cane keeps showing up. So you just did not give up.
I had to trust. Back.
She was trusting it, and she came back with it. And I was like, oh my God, still nobody. It took four times. You brought him back up. And finally, this woman says, oh, that's my dad. And I was like, you son of a bitch. You left her out there for how long?
I know, like, it is painful. But
it took time, you know, for the reader to like really go, oh shit, that is. And I think what happened is you started to like walk like him. Like you kind of bent over, and so you were really trusting in that intuition. And and then she was like, oh shit, that's my dad. And I was like, gosh darn it, you little fucker.
And it's
that's
true.
Out there all day, all night with this. But it was just a real testament to how powerful you are with your trusting of that intuition, even when you're not getting any validation.
Right.
You were persistent and you kept with it, and sure as shit.
Yeah,
it did. Was real.
Oh,
it was
that
a powerful
has,
message for her too.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. It was, I've had that happen to me more than you know, mm-hmm. and it's called sitter's amnesia, actually. So the sitter, the person that I'm reading for, whether it's individual, private, or in a group, a lot of times they're afraid to speak up because they need more evidence, or they're like, oh gosh, well, that could be someone else's dad. So I have to, you know, narrow it down and bring more. But I have to trust, I'm always trusting spirit, especially if they continue to show it to me. Continue. And I feel the nudge where they say, keep going. Yeah. And so, and I'm always in my mind while I'm talking out loud, I'm saying, can you please give me more than this?
You know? Give me something else. I know. Well, and that kind of brings us to our next question, right?
Yeah.
Kind of naturally. What is some of the advice that you would like to give a fellow light worker?
Oh, absolutely. Trust. That is, I wish I sometimes I see that word in capital letters in front of my face with my eyes closed. It is something that we all have to do. We have to listen to the inner voice that is speaking to us and our bodies. We have to trust. And the way that inner voice comes through from spirit is always loving, gentle, and kind. It's the ones that are nasty and mean and make you feel guilty, like, girl, get off your ass, you're so lazy. That is not spirit talking to you. That is not a nudge. That is ego. That is yourself, or like you would call it, Manjita, a gremlin, right? It is an inner voice, an inner critic. And there are differences. Spirit, our angels, our guides never speak to us that way. It is always out of love, and it's very gentle and kind. So you really have to trust. Trust and listen, pay attention, and know the difference.
Well, and I love that. You know, it's great advice, because I think you're 100% right in that gremlin talk, you know, that critic inside us. That, so thank you for, separating that, helping us identify between, you know, the inner critic and truth. Right.
Correct.
So yeah, that's a really great piece of advice, and how to, because we all have that inner critic, you know? And so just really tapping into that. Yeah. Thank you.
It is. And if it feels yucky, if what you're hearing makes you feel bad about yourself, or you find yourself feeling icky, or it's negative, that is not spirit. That is not, your higher self. They only speak through love. So it's really separating and trusting, okay, that's ego. That is myself. Critic, and this here is the nudges that I feel, that is spirit. So
yeah, that sounds like another podcast, sister. I love
one right
that
after the other.
We got some work to do, I'm telling you. So you know, this is so fascinating, and it's so, you know, I'm so honored that I've, you know, had the pleasure of watching, you know, your process, you know, really owning your power and being just this really impactful person in so many people's lives. So I'm curious, who are your influencers? Who are your biggest influencers?
My biggest influencers. Well, I have many. I have to say, I have been listening to Hay House Radio for many years, over 20 years, actually. And it's started, and then, oh gosh, one of yours also is Oprah Winfrey. I just really enjoyed the way they spoke. I enjoyed their words, and I started to really learn about spirituality and learning about our self-awareness and mindfulness. And I really enjoy authors and speakers. So Sandra Ann Taylor is someone that I love listening to. Gosh, there's so many, but she's a medium, clairvoyant, and spiritual teacher. She and her twin sister actually they do podcasts together, radio show. And I really enjoy listening to the way they work, and the way they speak, because it resonates with me, their words. Wayne Dyer was someone huge in my life. Louise Hay, who I love her affirmations. I am about affirmations, positive thinking, writing, you know, affirmations on my mirror. So when I wake up, that's the first thing I read. I have it on my phone, things that will, you know, sink into my brain. There's many, but then there's also my friends, like you, Manjeet, are a huge, you're the one who actually helped me be brave to step out and come out of the quote unquote closet and say out loud that I am a medium.
We needed you. We needed you. It was not a hard thing. It was,
well,
the world was waiting for you.
It was hard because, even though friends and family may have known that I was very spiritual and would get hits and kind of know things, saying that you're a medium and saying that you can talk to those that have crossed over and have proof and evidence was really scary.
Absolutely.
And for those that didn't know about that, and just, you know, year after year, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, and by the way, so that was really hard. But I definitely think that you helped me get through that and to be brave and to really claim it. And then the support of my friends and my husband, really, you know, he really supported me. So he's known for many years that we have visitors at night and listens to me talk to them or tell them to get the hell out of the room. And he's like, you know, what the hell's going on? So he's really have come to learn a lot about what I do and support me. And that's huge because I don't think I could do it without his support, to be honest.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. Awesome. Yeah. He's a pretty cool guy. We like him.
We like
him. He's a nice guy. I love him. Thanks. So, we're kind of wrapping up our questions today. And we're going to end with, what is the most bizarre story that you'd like to share with our audience?
I
have so many, I'm sure. I'm excited to hear
many.
This.
So I'm just going to like sit and figure out which one I'm supposed to talk about. Okay. Okay. Here we go. I know a lot of my friends have heard this one. I don't know if you know this one, Manj, but I'm sure I've shared it with you because it is so freaking bizarre and profound. I was living in Hermosa Beach and I had just moved into this really cute studio. I was so excited by myself. So no more roommates.
Hey.
And, I was dating Johnny at the time. And I was home by myself doing some laundry. And I was, you know, I had to go to the little laundromat part of the facility there and I needed quarters. And so I'm gathering up all my stuff. I had like this whole, all my dirty clothes wrapped up in these sheets, like in a big ball on the ground. And I always had change around. So I was digging through the purse. And anyway, I needed one more quarter. And I was like, oh gosh, there's got to be one here. And because I can't do laundry unless I find this one quarter. Yeah. So I began searching the entire, like I was digging through my purse. I was digging through my gym bag. I was going through the drawers. And all of a sudden I started to feel a little bit of panic. Like, holy shit, if I don't have a quarter, I can't do laundry. And I was like, no. And I switched gears. I was like, bullshit. There is a quarter here. I know it. I am going to find this damn quarter. And
that sounds like you.
Oh, I was so adamant. And it wasn't like, I knew it from my entire cells in my body. I was like, there's a quarter and I'm going to find it. And I started digging. I was opening drawers and I could like see it. I was like, it's not there. And so I kept going, I know there's one in here. And I stood there in the middle of the studio right in front of this big old pile of laundry wrapped up in a sheet. And I looked up at the sky and I said, come on. I know that there is a fucking quarter here. I just need one quarter, please. Just one quarter. I mean, I yelled it because I was like, I know it's here. And I swear, as God is my witness, I looked down because like a little shiny thing caught my eye and there sitting on top of my ball of dirty laundry that's wrapped in a sheet.
What
is a quarter sitting right on fucking top, like that, just sitting there, right dead center.
Jeez, and I'm getting chills. I got chills. Yeah. Oh totally.
I was like, what? It's right in front of my face sitting on top of my, there was no way. There's no effing way that that
wow.
there. And I looked at that and I swiped that motherfucker and I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was like, yes. And I was thanking the God, the angels, whatever source was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I picked up that ball, threw the laundry over my shoulder and went and did laundry. And I was like, it sat with me, like my whole body was vibrating when I saw it. Mm. It's vibrating right
wow.
now.
Wow. I totally, yeah. I love that.
I
love
was
that
like,
story.
Where the hell did you come from? So and yeah. I'll never forget this. I called my dad that night and I said, Dad, I have to tell you what just happened. And I told him the whole thing and he was like kind of giggling and he laughed. He goes, wow. He goes, how do you think it appeared? Do you think it like slowly came from the ceiling and just floated down? Or do you think it was just like a magically appeared from the ground? Like, what do you think? And we talked about it at great length that like, how did something hard and solid appear?
Yeah.
It just appeared. It came out of
my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So crazy.
How do you think it did get there? What did you guys come up with?
Well, the angels gave it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it just, because we're all made up of energy, right? I mean, you hear things. It was a miracle. It was a tiny, tiny, minuscule miracle just for me. But I manifested that quarter because I asked for it, but more than that, I knew I had one. I knew
wow.
it. And I was looking for it. And I was like, I know it's here somewhere. And it's like, they said, oh, look at her. Look aww. At her. Look at her. She believes so hard. Let's just put it right in front of her.
We
so
need to help her. Yeah.
And I mean, what the hell? It was crazy. It was just
absolutely I
crazy.
Love that story so much. Oh, and you know, it's the magic piece, right? And I think that's a great inquiry or challenge to leave our audience with is, you know, what magic is available to you?
Oh, yes.
Right? What are we asking for? And maybe paying attention to, because that's what you did. You asked for what you needed, but you were paying attention.
Yes.
For it to manifest.
I believed in every cell in my body that there was a quarter in that studio. That was the difference. It yes. wasn't like, oh, I must not have one. It was like, no. Listen up here, people. There is a quarter here and I'm going to find it. It was that energy that I had put there.
I love it.
Yeah. And then thanking them the minute I found it, I was like, hands up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for that great story. Oh, I love that. Yeah, and it's such an inspiring story to leave our audience with, right? Like, you know, maybe what is the magic that you're ready to invite into your life? And what are you ready to, who are you, you know, what are you ready to thank and really see in your life? So I love that kind of that formula that you've created for us. It's like, you know, just a knowing, having the confidence and then asking for what you need. And then being ready for it to manifest.
To receive.
And then being thankful. Right?
And being thankful. That's the equation. Hey everyone, this next little insert here is actually part of a recording that happened after this episode. So we thought we would go ahead and include it here at the end. So have a listen. Yeah, so we're in this rock painting party and as she's sitting there, I think there were six people and I have this gentleman come through and he's kind of a big guy and he says his name. He says Hank actually. Mm-hmm. And he says uncle, like Uncle Hank. Hank or something like Uncle Hank. And I thought that's an unusual name. And I don't really like to get names or do names because it can really stop a sitter if it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And he showed me on his arm, his big arm, this tattoo of an anchor. So right away, those are two pretty distinct, you know, pieces
yes.
of evidence.
For sure.
But I keep going and no one's claiming, no one's, they're all quiet. And I was like, okay. And then he says to me in a joking way, I hear this. He said, she knows exactly who I am. She's just afraid to speak up. So I
no
say
way.
That. I go, he just says to me that someone here knows who he is, but she's afraid to speak up. And as soon as I said that, she does, that she puts her hand up. She goes, okay, well, I do have an uncle. His name was Hank, and he did have a tattoo of an anchor on his arm. And she goes, but I just wasn't sure. And every single lady in there like started hitting her like, are you crazy?
No, are you serious right now?
Seriously, like, I know. She's like, I know, I'm sorry. And but when I said that, like, she knows she had to come for it. But they get nervous. They do, because they're not sure, and they're not sure if they even want to connect. And you do, you start to doubt. And when you're the sitter, you're like, well, I'm sure other people have uncles named Henry or Hank. I mean, it was Uncle Henry, but he went by Hank. So anyway,
it's a great, so I know, it's so, I think it's so fun for, you know, audiences to hear that too, that, you know, as the reader, that like, if as a light worker, as a reader, these are the things that like you come up and you bump up against, but also as a participant, as a sitter, you know, like just really like trusting in yourself as a sitter, coming in with an open mind and really being willing and ready to listen to what's coming through without judgment for of yourself, you know?
And it is scary. And it is scary for, we call them the sitters, right? Or the people that are participating, especially in a group, because sometimes they don't want to have the spotlight on them. Yes, they came to the party. Yes, they were hoping to have a really cool experience and see the mediumship and the messages. But they're probably saying to themselves like, oh gosh, I just don't know if I you know, yes, I want to hear from my grandmother, but maybe I don't. And how will I know it's really her? And just to have the, because it brings up so many emotions, right? Mm-hmm. So you're very vulnerable when all of a sudden grandmother comes through saying how much they love you and they knew you and remember they used to ride horses together or whatever it is. And the emotion, I think people are surprised at the emotion. Oh,
absolutely. And I've seen that in a lot of your readings. You know, I've gone to so many of your parties and gatherings and rock parties and painting parties and like all of those amazing things that you hold. And I'm often, I mean, I know connecting with your loved ones is that have passed over can be very emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. But I'm often struck by that, you know, the just people that, you know, are really guarded and that just really, it really hits them. And it's a really cathartic process for them too, because I mean, I remember one gal, it was so funny. It was, I think it was actually a painting party at my house that I was hosting. And you started talking about sumo wrestlers.
Oh yeah.
And remember that? And we were all what the hell?
Oh, I started cracking up. I'm like, am I really seeing a sumo wrestler in the room right now? Yeah.
We were dying. We were all like, okay, that's weird. And we had a girl who said, yes, my mother took me to a sumo wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is how I'll never forget this, because no one was claiming the sumo wrestler. And along next to the sumo wrestler was a little Asian woman, and she kind of curly hair. I vaguely remember that. But it wasn't as if the sumo wrestler was the loved one. She was showing me a sumo wrestler to bring that up. And man, there was only one Asian gal in the whole party.
There was.
Besides myself. There was only one. So I'm like looking around the room. I'm like, hey, I'm really sorry, but you're the only Asian here.
And this is an Asian girl. Right now.
Yeah. I was like, this is an Asian girl. And she did. She goes, well, my grandmother used to take me to go see sumo wrestlers. I was like, ding, ding, ding.
Yes, I know. And then it was like this overflowing of emotion, like you're talking about, which was, you know, so powerful for her. You know, it was like her mom was coming through and knew that this was a memory. This was something that, you know, they were connected with. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder, like, do you ever worry about the things that you're seeing to people? Like, do you fear about
tell us about that. Because you know, I took a long, long course in mediumship with Suzanne Giesman, who is phenomenal, a very well-renowned medium herself. And something that she shares, and I have made this my own policy, is do no harm, right? Okay. So as messages come through, and I don't know who's going to step through, I don't know what they're going to say, what they're going to show me. And sometimes it's really very emotional. Sometimes it's abusive. Sometimes there's an apology. And sometimes there's information that maybe the other people in the room aren't aware of, and maybe it's personal. So I have to really stop myself and not just shout out like, oh, you had a miscarriage. You know, I have to stop and say, okay, and I'm getting some information, but I would love to share this with you privately after the gathering, if that's okay. And just pull them aside and mention it. Cause that happened like 5 times where I'll have, baby spirits come through because they were either miscarried or aborted, or, you know, something happened, and come to find out, this one woman said, yeah, nobody in the room knew about that. So thank you so much for not blasting that out there. Cause how could she hide her emotion? Right. So it is scary. Cause I don't, and spirit is really needs to get this message across for their healing. Mm-hmm. So it is my job to discern. It's my job as the conduit, as the messenger, to really stop, pay attention, and help deliver the best way I can by doing no harm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a great story, a great synopsis of a really uncomfortable situation. And it really tells me, I mean, it really lets us know how professional you are, you know, that your professionalism really shines through because you're discerning, you know, doing no harm. And we talk about that a lot in coaching, right? Is we create intention, your intention setting skills, work on that with clients all the time. What is your intention moving forward in any area of your life? Mm-hmm. And so it's really powerful for me to hear you embracing that intention of do no harm, because it really does keep you in alignment with your professionalism and just being in service to them. And so thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome.
My beautiful friend. That's so, I love that shit so much. Oh my God.
I love it too. Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. This was so fun. You're the best.